Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Yehoshua. We are learning the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. We are in Perek Dalet, chapter 4. We'll probably wrap the chapter in this segment, although there will be an added thought that may need to wait for tomorrow, and that will be Ralbag's perspective on the miracle of the splitting of the Yarden. He has a unique view, which, we'll have to get to it. But first, the Kohanim have to leave the Yarden. The water has to go back to flowing the way that it did before. So we're in chapter 4, sentence 16, in which Hashem says to Yehoshua, Tzaveyas HaKohanim Nosei Aron Ho'edus V'yalu Min HaYarden. Tell the Kohanim who are carrying the Aron. We keep emphasizing that the Aron's presence is what caused the Yarden to stop flowing. So tell the Kohanim, the carriers of the Aron, V'yalu Min HaYarden, and they will come out of the Yarden. We mentioned yesterday that it's important that we play this out. We can't just say, okay, the Jews crossed, and now the Kohanim left, because, as Abarbanel says, Hashem told you to go into the Yarden, Hashem has to tell you to leave the Yarden as well. Fine. Vayetzav Yehoshua sa'kohanim le'mor alu min ha'yarden. So Yehoshua tells the Kohanim, come up out of the Yarden. Vayhi ba'alo sa'kohanim nose'ei aron bris Hashem mitoch ha'yarden. And when the Kohanim, carriers of the Aron, came up out of the Yarden, nitku kapos raglei ha'kohanim el ha'charava, the feet of the Kohanim were separated, meaning separated from the ground, from the ground inside, to now be on the dry ground outside of the Yarden. Vayashuvu mei ha'yarden l'mekomam, and the waters of the Yarden went back to their place. Vayalchu kismol shilshom al kol kedosav, and again they were full. We emphasize that the Yarden was full to say this is such a remarkable nace. It's such a remarkable miracle. The fact that it split for them. So the waters that had been piled up waiting to descend now descend, and the Yarden is once again flowing. One note here. Off and on, I've pointed out where the text supports the idea that the Kohanim are on the east side of the Yarden or the west side of the Yarden. Remember, the Jews are crossing from east to west, right? That's coming out of the Midbar, going into Eretz Yisrael. The evidence for where the Kohanim are standing while this happens is split. Meaning, you could say that the Kohanim they enter the Yarden on the east side, and they stop right there where the water splits. If you go back to chapter 3, sentences 13 to 17, which describe their initial entry into the Yarden, it said, when the Kohanim stepped into the Yarden, when their feet landed in the Yarden, at that point, the water stopped flowing, everything went downstream, that which was coming down didn't move, and therefore you have dry land for the Jews to cross. And the text after that says nothing about the Kohanim moving from that spot, so it really sounds like the Kohanim walk in, they stop where they are as the water stops flowing. The recap of what happened in chapter 4, sentences 10 and 11, supported that. It said the Kohanim were standing in the Yarden until the end of everything, until the Jews had finished crossing, and then the Kohanim are going to take the Aron across. So that supports the idea that the Kohanim are on the east side of the Yarden. We've also seen evidence that says no, the Kohanim actually walked all the way through to the west side and waited there. Because in chapter 4, sentence 5, it said that everybody left the Yarden, and then the 12 representatives went back in to get the stones, and they walked in front of the Aron, right? If you look at chapter 4, sentence 5, I am flipping to it in my own sefer here. The Ivru lifnei Aron Hashem Elokechem. Yehoshua says to these representatives, go in front of the Aron El Toch HaYarden, into the Yarden. So that sounds like they crossed back into it in front of the Aron. The Aron must be on the west side. Further, the text right here sounds like it, because the text that we just read said Yehoshua told the Kohanim, come up out of the Yarden. And it was, when they came out, their feet left the bed of the Yarden and the water flowed. It said nothing about walking across. None of these are proof for what's going on, but there's evidence to support them being on the east side. There's evidence to support them being on the west side. Rashi is very bothered, because Rashi said back in the beginning of this story that the Kohanim were on the eastern side of the Yarden all along. That was very clear in Rashi's view. They were on the eastern side of the Yarden. So Rashi arrives here and he says, I don't know what to do, because here it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like they're on the west side. So Rashi quotes you a Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota is not really talking about our passage. The Gemara in Sota is talking about the idea that the Aron is not actually carried. When people think they're carrying the Aron is actually carrying them, which of course is a much bigger message about Hashem's relationship with us. And the Gemara there, as part of that, says something remarkable about this crossing of the Yarden. It says, "V'kevan sha'ala ha'achron shabisrael min ha'yarden chazu mayim limikoman." It says, when the last of the Jews left the Yarden, then the water went back to where it had been. And it says, "Nimtza aron v'nosa'av v'kohanim mitzad echad v'yisrael mitzad echad." The aron and its bearers, the kohanim, are on one side, and Israel is on, the Jews are on, the other side. Nasa aron es nosa'av v'avar. The Aron carried its carriers and crossed, meaning the Kohanim are standing on the east side, which is what Rashi believed all along. They step out of the Yarden on the eastern side of the Yarden. They're now back in the Midbar. They're on the eastern, they're in Moab land. They're east of the Yarden. The water then starts flowing, and then the Aron carries them across the Yarden. That's the way Rashi understands it, based on his reading of the Psukim and based on this Gemara in Sota. That's Rashi's solution to the problem, is to refer you to that Gemara about the Aron carrying the Kohanim. He says, yeah, that's the way it worked. So writes Rashi. Radak says, I don't understand why you have to say this. He's not compelled. You'll tell me, well, it's a Gemara that describes that. That's true. Nonetheless, Radak says, I don't think that that's actually what's going on here. You're not forced to say it, and it doesn't appear in the text. It doesn't appear in the Psukim. You may recall, we had a similar skepticism from Radak earlier when we saw the idea that also from a Medrash, if I remember correctly, that when Yoshua summoned the Jews in front of the Aron, they all squeezed into the space between the poles in front of the Aron. And Radak said, really? Is that actually what it's saying? Yeah, that was a Rashi on chapter 3, sentence 9, who said that. And Radak there said, this drash is distant. He said, come on, the text would have said so. So Radak here, again, comes back at Rashi and he says, I don't think so. The answer is that the Kohanim were on the western side of the Yarden, and now they just stepped out of the Yarden and finished. Okay, so that's just an interesting piece, this issue of where the Kohanim are standing, and is there a miracle going on that wasn't explicit in the text. But let's come back now to the Psukim themselves. Pasuk Yud Tes, sentence 19. V'ha'am alu min ha'yarden be'asor la'chodesh harishon. The Jews came out of the Yarden on the 10th day of the first month, meaning the 10th day of Nisan. This is how we know. I kept telling you that it was the 10th of Nisan when they crossed. This is how we know, because the text says so. V'achanu ba'gilgal b'kitzei mizrach Yericho. And they camped at Gilgal, which is just east of Yericho. V'eis shtem esrei ha'avanim ha'ela asher lakum min ha'yarden hikim Yehoshua ba'gilgal. And the 12 stones that they took from the Yarden, not the ones that were a monument on the spot where the Kohanim had stood, but the ones they took to put at their camp that night, hikim Yehoshua ba'gilgal. So Yehoshua set them up now in Gilgal. So a couple of points here. First of all, the text goes out of its way to say that this is the 10th of Nisan. Of course, we know from Shmos, chapter 12, sentence 3, that the 10th of Nisan was also the day when they designated the original Korban Pesach in Egypt. So why is the text here emphasizing that, hey, this is the 10th of Nisan? I think it's clear that it's a callback to what happened on the previous 10th of Nisan, the 140 years earlier. But what's the link? Why would we be trying to state that? So I think part of it is actually just a very practical point, because the next story in the beginning of chapter 5 is going to be the Jews bringing the Korban Pesach. So, you know, mention that it's now the 10th of Nisan, and therefore Pesach is coming. I think that's clearly an association. However, some also note that it highlights the miracle of the Yarden, not because of the link to Pesach, but because it's the 10th of Nisan. And when you're on the 10th of Nisan, the moon is getting towards being full, and therefore the Yarden would be more full as well. That's an interesting idea. I have no idea how tides work or their influence on the Yarden, but that's a very interesting idea. But I think also mentioning the 10th of Nisan is important because back in Egypt, the 10th of Nisan, you separated the Egyptian god as your carbon to Hashem, setting you apart from your enemies, demonstrating divine protection as Hashem protects them while they take this Egyptian god to use as a carbon. And so to here, Hashem is again demonstrating his protection of the Jews. So the 10th of Nisan is a wonderful day for us. Okay. This trip to Gilgal is interesting. The fact that they went to Gilgal so quickly, and Radak makes this point, I referenced it once before, that this is quite a distance that they traveled from the Yarden to Gilgal. He actually quotes a statement of Chazal that they traveled 60 mil that day. 60 mil is about 60 kilometers, maybe a little less than 60 kilometers. It's quite the distance that they traveled that day. And he says it's a miracle. It's kfitzas haderech. Okay. Radak also adds one other note on this, which is the setting up of the stones where they camp at Gilgal that night. He says the placement of the stones at the place where they camp is more than just a marker, like, oh, okay, this is where we are. It's a memorial. He compares it to having the man in the Mishkan or Aharon's staff that brought forth flowers in the Mishkan. It's meant to be something for the nation as a whole to see, to remind them of the miracle. However, he says, unlike the man, unlike Aharon's staff, it's not placed in front of the Aron. And he says the reason why it's not placed in front of the Aron is because you don't want to equate Yahushua's miracles with Moshe's miracles. They are important, these stones, but they're not Moshe-level important. It's an interesting idea. I think I said that was Radak. I didn't mean Radak. It's Ralbag who makes this point, that they're setting these stones up at the Mishkan as a monument and as a memorial for the Jews. I'm also not clear whether Ralbag thinks that then they're going to take these stones with them when the Mishkan eventually moves. Right, because the Mishkan is only in Gilgal for 14 years, and after that it moves on to Shiloh. So I don't know if he's saying that these stones will eventually move from Gilgal to Shiloh. Not clear. Okay, so we still have four sentences left in the Perek, so we're going to have to do that tomorrow. God willing, we'll wrap it up, and we'll see this very interesting Ralbag about the splitting of the Yarden. He has a phenomenal perspective on miracles. But what we got out of this today is this debate between Rashi and Radak of, do we read the Psukim to support the idea that when the Kohanim crossed, when the Kohanim went into the Yarden, they actually went to the west side, the way Radak says you should read it, and ignore the parts that leave them on the east side? Or do you read it as Rashi reads it, they were on the east side, and yet the text seems to say they just stepped out, they didn't have to cross, and the Aron carried them. And the Aron carried them across. Do we propose that there's a miracle, a big miracle, that's not even mentioned in a clear way in the Psukim? And then we have the other piece that we got today was this business of the 10th of Nisan. Why are we stressing that it's the 10th of Nisan? Is it practical? Karban Pesach is coming. Is it a demonstration of the greatness of the splitting of the Yarden? Because of the 10th of Nisan, the river would have been full. Or is it trying to say that, by the way, one other idea, come to think of it, for why it might have been full at this point is not about the moon and the tides, but the fact that it's Nisan, the beginning of the spring, and therefore it would have been, maybe that's the emphasis, not necessarily about the tides, sorry. But going back to this, why we stress the 10th of Nisan, it's also parallel with a miracle that sets us apart from our foes.